Le Con, le quotidien, c'est sur Taïwan.
Welcome to the second season of True Crime Naija. In this season, we bring you stories of crimes that happen not only in Nigeria, but also across Africa.
We hope that by sharing these stories, we all become more aware of the types of crimes that happen here.
And by becoming aware, we become smarter at detecting and hopefully preventing similar crimes.
This episode and other episodes of True Crime Niger can be found on our 234 Audio YouTube channel, on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, let's get started.
Lauren Mokorena is sitting at the detective's office at Sandton Police Station in Johannesburg, South Africa. Her eyes are red and heavy from the lack of sleep and consistent crying. She stares at her reflection in the window. Lorraine is already an older woman, but the events of the past weeks have made her age even more. She sighs heavily and rests her face in her palm.
Just then, a female detective walks in. The detective avoids eye contact with Lorraine. Instead, she moves to her desk and opens up her laptop. She starts playing a video and turns the laptop so that Lorraine can see.
On the screen is a body. It seems to have been badly burnt. The fire that burnt it had completely eaten up the face and some body parts. It was almost hard to tell what gender the body belonged to.
The only part of the body that seemed to have escaped the fire are the feet. Lorraine stares at them. They are familiar. Small feet with short toenails, painted in shiny red nail polish. We would need to do a DNA test to confirm, the detective starts to say.
But Lorraine shakes her head as tears begin to fill her eyes. She doesn't need a DNA confirmation. She knows exactly what she's looking at. This is her daughter, Karabo, killed and burnt beyond recognition. Hi, I'm Antonietta.
I'm Richard.
And I'm John.
And this story...
This story...
could save your life. Karabo Mokorena was a 22-year-old woman. Besides being intelligent, well-spoken and driven, she was very beautiful. She was loved very dearly by her friends and family.
Karabo had a good relationship with her father and brother, and she was very fond of her mother, Lorraine, and her elder sister, Bontley. Karabo trusted Bontley and shared everything with her, from her dream of starting a charity foundation to the new guy she was dating. His name was Sandile Mansoe. Karabo had met Sandile in 2016.
27-year-old Sandile was cute. He would not really have passed for Karabo's type at first, but his amazing personality and ambitious nature made her fall for him. He drives a gold-colored BMW and has a huge following on Instagram. Many young men in Johannesburg look up to him.
Wow, a BMW at 27? How does he make his money? What does he do for a living?
Sandile has a degree in graphic design, but he began forex trading after school. Sandile, like Karabo, is eloquent and driven, and Karabo was certain that together they could really make a difference in their society.
It's Friday, the 28th of April, 2017, days before Lorraine was called to the detective's office. Lorraine is sitting in her kitchen and she's furious. Karabo had told her she was going to spend last night at Sandile's apartment. But tonight, Lorraine was determined not to let her do that again.
She has been dialing Karabo's number to tell her that no matter what happens, she needs to sleep at home tonight. But the number is switched off. As a last resort, she decides to take the bull by the horn and call Sandile himself.
Hello, Sandile.
Hello.
This is Lolo, Karabo's mother.
Oh, hi, Mamzo.
Can you give the phone to Karabo? I need to speak with her.
Karabo? She's not here, though. Isn't she home?
Lorraine is confused. What does he mean by isn't she home?
She said she was going to sleep at your place last night.
No, Mamzo, she didn't. She left once we were done hanging out.
Lorraine's fury immediately turns to fear. If Karabo isn't with Sandile, then where is she?
That same Friday, the 28th of April, Karabo's mom, Lorraine, and her sister, Bundley, immediately report her disappearance to the police. During this time, the police, for some reason, are not very responsive.
Is this yet another case where they make the family wait 24 to 48 hours before they do anything?
We're not sure if that's what they told the family in this case, but we should all know by now that the first 24 to 48 hours in a missing person case are the most critical. So Karabo's family and friends do not wait for the police. They post her photos on social media asking people to help find her.
As that's going on, Lorraine decides to call Sandile again and she pleads with Sandile to tell her where Karabo is. She assures him that nothing will happen to him. They just need to find her.
Wait, why is she talking that way? Does she think Sandile kidnapped Karabo?
Yeah, Lorraine had reason to suspect Sandile. You see, Sandile and Karabo's relationship wasn't a healthy one. A month into their relationship, Sandile and Karabo had an argument which got heated, and Sandile smashed Karabo's phone and pushed her against the wall.
Whoa, red flag alert.
Definitely a red flag. But Karabo didn't take it that way. She believed he only did that because he lost his temper. So they made up and Karabo moved in with Sandile.
While living in Sandile's house, Karabo kept sending photos of bruises to her friends. Sandile was consistently abusing her. But no matter how many times her friends advised her to leave, Karabo always forgave Sandile whenever he came begging.
Lorraine remembers one very bad abusive incident when Karabo ended up in the hospital. It was on a Monday, the 27th of March, and it was Karabo's birthday. She was turning 22. Lorraine had called Karabo to wish her a happy birthday and pray with her, but she couldn't reach her. No one could reach Karabo, not her friends or family members. Eventually, Karabo reached out to her family to tell them she was at the hospital. Sandile had smashed her phone and beaten her up after an argument.
When Lorraine and Karabo's siblings went to the hospital to see Karabo, they were distraught. Karabo's body was severely bruised. Her left eye was completely bloodshot.
That night at the hospital, Lorraine sat by Karabo's bed. She took her daughter's face in her hands, looked directly into her eyes, and slowly said to her, "This is not just a toxic relationship. Sandile is going to kill you."
Karabo sat quietly sobbing in the hospital bed as she listened to advice from her family members. Her brother told her that moving out of Sandile's house wasn't enough. She needed to file assault charges.
Karabo takes her family's advice, and immediately after she is discharged, she goes to the police station to file charges against Sandile. But get this, when Karabo arrives at the police station, she finds out that Sandile had already been there. He had filed assault charges against Karabo. He said Karabo had beaten him up.
What? Is that true?
Well, it's true that he filed the report. We don't know if what he claimed is true.
Sandile claimed that Karabo was the aggressor and she was the one always assaulting him.
But Karabo was the one that ended up in the hospital. She was the one with bruises and a bloodshot eye.
I know, but the police decide they don't have the time to go back and forth between the two lovers. Somehow, Karabo never got to officially file charges against Sandile, but she decided she was done with Sandile.
So Karabo moves back to her parents' house and moves on with her life. And everything seemed fine until Thursday, the 27th of April, when Karabo calls her mother.
"Mama, I'm going out with my friends and Sandile. I'll spend the night at Sandile's. Don't stay up waiting for me."
Wait, what? I thought she was done.
That's exactly what everyone thought. But Karabo had gone out to an event a few nights before and Sandile was there too. Somehow, he was able to get Karabo to give him yet another chance.
Lorraine is so worried. She doesn't like the idea of Karabo being alone with Sandile again. So later that evening, she calls Karabo. Karabo answers the phone in a whisper.
"Hello, Mama. I can't talk now. I'll call you back."
But Karabo never calls Lorraine back. And the next day, when Lorraine calls Sandile to ask to speak to Karabo, that's when Sandile says Karabo never slept at his house that night.
So yes, Lorraine has reasons to believe that Sandile might have kidnapped Karabo. But the next words that come out of Sandile's mouth make her even more worried.
Mamzo, I swear I don't know where Karabo is. I didn't kill her.
Karabo is missing and her mother Lorraine has just called Karabo's boyfriend to see if she's with him. Karabo was supposed to spend the night at his place, but Lorraine is shocked to hear the words that just came out of Sandile's mouth.
Mamzo, I swear I don't know where Karabo is. I didn't kill her.
Who said anything about killing?
Exactly. No one said anything about killing Karabo. Lorraine just wants to know where Karabo is.
Lorraine immediately gets dressed and heads out. She needs to find her daughter right now. When Karabo's family starts to investigate her disappearance, they find out that Karabo's personal items, including her passport, were found in the dustbin at Sandile's apartment.
At this point, Karabo's disappearance is going viral on social media, along with rumors that Sandile might have kidnapped her. People are mounting pressure on the police to do something. So when Lorraine gets to the police station, they assign police officers to go with her to Sandile's house.
When Lorraine and the police get to Sandile's apartment, he is not home. She calls him and he says he'll be back home by 9 p.m. They decide to wait for him. While waiting, the police ask the caretakers if they could review the CCTV footage of the apartment building.
Eventually, Sandile arrives. The police ask him about Karabo and he says he doesn't know where she is but that he thinks she could have traveled to London.
London? From South Africa to London without a passport?
That's what he says. He apparently doesn't know that they found Karabo's passport in the trash. But the police know she couldn't have left the country.
Then they ask Sandile if Karabo had spent the night at his apartment on the 26th of April. Sandile says no. And just like he told Lorraine, Karabo had left immediately after they were done hanging out. But you see, the police had already reviewed the CCTV footage before questioning Sandile. And the footage shows Karabo entering the elevator to Sandile's apartment, but she never comes out.
When the police take Sandile for interrogation at the station, he confesses. Sandile says he killed Karabo.
Oh no.
Sandile says that after killing her, he immediately got a waste bin, put her body in it and dumped it in his car. Then he took the body to an open field where he poured acid and petrol on it, then set it on fire.
But when Sandile is given a piece of paper to write his confession, he changes his story. According to the police, Sandile's new version of what happened is that Karabo committed suicide.
So, how did she end up burnt in a dustbin?
Sandile admits to doing that. He says because he had been accused of assaulting Karabo, he felt people may have reasons to believe he had killed her. So that's why he decided to dispose of her body and all her belongings.
That just doesn't make sense. How do you find your girlfriend dead and decide the best action is to pour acid and set her body on fire?
The police had the very same questions. And Sandile's new confession does not match the timeline on the CCTV footage. Sandile says he left the house at about 6 p.m. that Friday, the 28th, and that when he left, Karabo was alive. But when he returned, just 4 minutes later, Karabo was dead.
CCTV footage from the 28th shows Sandile and Karabo entering the lift in the lobby at 2:48 in the morning.
It sounds like they had a long night out since they are coming back in the wee hours of the 28th.
Yes, it looks like they did. Karabo walks into view first. She is wearing a pink long-sleeved hoodie and she's holding her bags in her hand. Then she stops and waits for Sandile. From the footage, she looks upset.
Sandile then walks into view and he's wearing a dark-colored hoodie. He gets into the lift and Karabo follows him.
Then the footage doesn't show either of them until 9:57 p.m.
That's about 18 hours later.
That's right. We see Sandile wearing a navy blue long-sleeved shirt, trousers, and a red baseball cap. He is seen pushing a wheelie bin into the lift in the lobby before taking it up to his room. A wheelie bin is this large refuse bin on wheels. At 10:07 p.m., Sandile steps out of the lift into the lobby with the bin and now it seems heavier. He's dragging it.
10:25 p.m., Sandile is back with the bin and now it seems empty. He returns the bin back to where he had picked it up earlier. 10:29 p.m., we see Sandile drive out of the building.
Then we don't see Sandile again until about 2 hours later at 12:35 a.m., the 29th. He is back in the lobby.
He's still wearing the same outfit, but this time he has latex gloves on and he's holding a trash bag filled with items. The items do not appear to be heavy. When the police confront Sandile with the footage, he agrees that what he had carried in the wheelie bin was Karabo's body, but he insists that he never killed her.
The police ask him to take them to the spot where he burnt Karabo's body, and Sandile takes them to a ditch in an open field in Lynnhurst, a suburb of Johannesburg.
Now, a passerby had already found the body in the field a few days before and reported it to the police. The body had been burnt beyond recognition, and without an identification, the police took it to the mortuary. But after interrogating Sandile, they made the connection that the body in the morgue may be Karabo's.
This was when the police called Lorraine to come into the station, where the detective is playing her the video of the body that they found in the open field.
As she watches the video, Lorraine is certain that those are her daughter's legs. And when the DNA results came out, they only confirmed what she already knew.
The police charged Sandile with premeditated murder and defeating the ends of justice. They also add on Karabo's previous assault charges.
Oh, I'm so glad she still gets justice, even for the abuse that she suffered before she died.
Now, Sandile pleaded not guilty to all the charges, and he stuck to his confession that Karabo had committed suicide and that all he did was find her body and dispose of it.
So, how did she commit suicide?
According to Sandile, Karabo had stabbed herself in the neck and then died in the 4 minutes that he left the room. When he was asked how a woman with no prior history of suicide will suddenly commit suicide, Sandile said Karabo was suicidal and she used to cut herself. He said that one day he had found her on the floor with a box of sleeping pills. Sandile even said that a security guard who worked at the apartment witnessed the incident.
Is that true?
No. The security guard disputed the story and testified that he only helped Sandile access his apartment after he forgot his access card inside.
On the 3rd of May, 2018, Sandile was found guilty of all charges against him. He was handed a cumulative judgment of 32 years imprisonment.
32 years? That's it?
Yes. 32 years for taking the life of a 22-year-old woman who probably loved him in her own way. We've said this before and we'll say it again. If you're in an abusive relationship, get help before it's too late. Here in Nigeria, we have several organizations that you can reach out to.
There is the Mirabel Center, the Checheyara Foundation, and the Stand to End Rape Initiative, and many others that are more than ready to help.
I'm so glad Karabo's family stayed on top of this case from the early hours when they discovered she was missing.
Yes, I agree. The pressure they put on the police allowed them to detain Sandile before he had more time to clean up his tracks. So remember, the first 24 to 48 hours of a missing person case are crucial. In that time, do what you can to find your loved ones and keep the police in the loop. For this episode, we relied on several sources including eNews Channel Africa, SABC News, True Crime South Africa, Sowetan Live, and Multimedia Live. Join us next week for another episode of True Crime Niger. This time, we are back in Nigeria for the case of a man who wakes up in the hospital and finds out that he's accused of killing his family. True Crime Niger is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2021, Triple E Media Productions. This episode of True Crime Niger was produced by Antonietta Kalunta, John Iwodi, Richard Anyebe, Nico Rivas, and Sam Tabakaji. Executive producer Rahmat Muhammad. Special thanks to Rabia Hadeja and Mala Iwa Gbadu Ikaleku. Stay alert, stay alive. See you next week.